today as we come to the table.
Abram stayed in a place where God could give him the strength needed so that he wouldn't fall. He stayed separate from the areas of Sodom and Gomorrah. He stayed separate from the areas of the flesh. And again, so what a warning this is to us, and what a picture this is to us as to what the outcome of our life will be depending on where we choose to live our life. If we choose to jump into the world and live fleshly, we're going to have the fleshly outcome. If we choose to keep ourselves protected in a place of strength in the Lord, in the Word and in prayer and in fellowship and with other believers and away from the things that will cause us to fall, we're going to stay strong and we're going to stay in a place. You know, how many times do we get our heart broken when we see some known leader in the Christian church fall?
How do you prevent yourself from a great fall? As you listen to today's message from Pastor Mark, he encourages you to stay in God's Word. Spending regular time studying the Scriptures helps to keep your faith strong in the Lord and in His truth. This helps to make you less susceptible to the enemy's lies and tactics. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark also encourages you to stay plugged into Christian fellowship and a godly community. When you're in a community, iron sharpens iron. You each help to strengthen one another's spiritual growth through prayer and the authenticity of your faith. All of these equate to a spiritual house being firm and secure. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 14. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
Again, how sad it is when we live in the flesh, when we allow our families to be living in the flesh as the leaders of our home, and then we find ourselves being taken captive by the enemy. We find our wife and our children being taken captive by the enemy, and we realize it's simply because we made bad choices about where we should be living, how we should be living. Now, I'm not talking about physical location, all right? It's not a matter of where your house is located. In Lot's case, it was, but in our instance, it's not really where your house is located. It's where your heart is located. Are you living in the flesh? Have you come to dwell in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the things of the world that are opposed to God, and not just opposed, but truly wicked before God, and they don't seem to bother us that much. And even if they do bother us, they don't bother us enough to get us moving in another direction. Watch out, because it's only a matter of time until our family is taken captive. And let me even say this to the dads. It may be that you can handle certain things. But what about your wife and kids? Maybe that the wife can handle certain things. What about the husband and the kids? The bottom line is we don't need to be in a place where we can be taken captive, or we will be. And this brings us to the first thing this morning about being taken captive by the enemy, and that is we should not be dwelling in a place that we know we shouldn't be. We should not be living in the areas of flesh that God has called us away from. Jesus said, well, the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And yet oftentimes we can find ourselves very easily living right in the midst of the world, and we put ourselves in a position to where we can be taken captive. Here's the point, and really this is what we should focus on the first point here, and that is if we never dwell in a place that the enemy can take us captive, we never will be taken captive. In other words, if we're not reading things we shouldn't be reading, being in movies we shouldn't be in, going to websites we have no business going to, hanging out with people and in places we have no business being, if we don't do that, we won't fall. If we do that, living among the flesh, even if we say, well, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to be a part of it, it's only a matter of time until the flesh overtakes us and the enemy has an opportunity now to once again take us captive to do his will. We need to use wisdom. Whenever I see fellow believers fall, it is always because they were in a place they never should have been in the first place. I've never had someone come to me and say, I've fallen in sin. And, you know, I've been in the Word every day and prayer every day. I've been in fellowship every week. And I've separated from every bad influence and I've fallen in sin. That has not happened one time since I've been in the Lord. And I don't ever expect it to happen. Why? Because those that do such things are living in a place of strength. They're living in a place of God's blessing where God can protect them and God will protect us. But when we throw ourselves in the midst of an area where we can be drawn away, then it's our own fault if we fall into that demise. Now again, notice secondly here, and we've already mentioned this, that Lot lost his goods. And again, we'll see them temporarily regained by God's grace and the love of a concerned brother here in just a moment, but it will not last very long as we see God ultimately wipe out and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And again, the point is this, there's no way we can live the fleshly life and not find ourselves ultimately losing out in some form and fashion. There will always be the unwanted consequences. So we need to take warning. Notice here, he goes on in verse 13, says, then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, that is where the Amorite was, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now notice this, interesting here, Mamre means literally strength. And now we see Abram here dwelling in a place of strength. Notice the contrast between the place that Lot chose to dwell and the place that Abram chose to dwell. Now, I know there are two literal locations. Yes, indeed. Granted. But there's a picture here the Holy Spirit gives us in the places they chose to dwell. One, a place of the flesh, and another, a place of strength. That is Mamre, meaning strength. And what's my point in that? Abram stayed in a place where God could give him the strength needed so that he wouldn't fall. He stayed separate from the areas of Sodom and Gomorrah. He stayed separate from the areas of the flesh. And again, so what a warning this is to us and what a picture this is to us as to what the outcome of our life will be depending on where we choose to live our life. If we choose to jump into the world and live fleshly, we're going to have the fleshly outcome. If we choose to keep ourselves protected in a place of strength in the Lord, in the Word and in prayer and in fellowship and with other believers and away from the things that will cause us to fall, we're going to stay strong and we're going to stay in a place. You know, how many times do we get our heart broken when we see some known leader in the Christian church fall? It doesn't take any time to find out what their lifestyle was like prior to that, to find out there was a time when they were walking in the strength of the Lord. They were there under the terebinth tree in the place of Mamre, so to speak. And then all of a sudden they started veering over and looking over towards Sodom. And it didn't take long after looking into Sodom that they got pulled into what? The sins of Sodom. And we have to be careful to think, well, that would never happen to me. Listen, remember Peter, Lord, all these other guys, they may do it. But you know, I'm the original Rocky. I was episode one. And yet Peter went down, didn't he? He went down. And so we can't think that we're going to somehow be stronger and be able to do that. So Lot now finds himself in a tough spot here. And notice it says this, showing where they are. He gets the message. Notice what Abram does. I love it. He springs into gear. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan. Now, this verse is loaded. But it's a great verse to show us what we should do when a brother or sister is taken captive by the enemy, when they veer away from the things of God and begin living in the things of the flesh. But I want to point out before we get into this, notice first of all, there's no mention of Abraham saying, well, that's what that guy gets. He deserved it. He should have never been in that place in the first place. And I think the very first thing we need to look at when it comes to restoring a brother or sister is our attitude toward them. Are we copying an attitude because they're where they shouldn't have been and that's what they get? Or are we saying, you know what? Listen, how they got there, I don't care. I'm simply going to go after them. And once I bring them back, we'll talk about how to keep them from going that direction again. But again, this goes back to Galatians chapter 6. We who are spiritual, you who are spiritual, that is not in a prideful way, but those of you that are walking with the Lord, if you see your brother or sister veer off, go to them in a spirit of gentleness, not in a spirit of I told you so. Go and bring them back. And that's what we see Abram demonstrating here. He doesn't mention anything about, well, that's what that guy gets. And you know what? He could have had an attitude toward him. He could have said, oh yeah, Lot chose to go the direction where the plain was the nicest and where the crops and everything. And here I am living in the desert. That's what that guy gets, you know? He deserves it. No, there was a heart of brokenness when a brother was down. And so he now wants to go and help set him free. But this brings up the first step in restoring a brother or a sister taken captive by the enemy. And that is, very simply, go after them. Go after them. If you know somebody today and you have a brother or sister in the Lord that has walked away, go after them. Don't be afraid to do that. Realize that unless you go after them, unless someone goes after them, they're going to stay in the slime pits of Sodom. You need to go get them. And sometimes that may mean that you have to even step into that mess to pull them out a little bit. But don't be afraid to go after them. We are to go after them. It's not that the Lord needs us, but the Lord will use us. And Abraham understood that God was going to use him here to release Lot from this situation that he found himself in. And so many times we see this take place where people fall out of fellowship or fall away, and we as their family have a responsibility to go after them. We need to reach out in love. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit police where you spy on them and, hey, why weren't you at church every week last week or every day last week? Or, you know, I've heard of churches like that that chase people down, you know. And to me, that's crazy. It's not to be chasing people down and trying to invade in their life and tell them how they should walk with God. But when you see them veering off, we need to love them enough to reach out and say, hey, what's going on? You know, it's something as simple as, can I come over? Can we go for a cup of coffee? Can I talk to you for a minute? Listen, where are you with the Lord? I notice I hadn't seen you in a while. What's going on with your walk? Tell me what's happening. And typically you'll find, well, you know, I know I've kind of veered off or whatever. And a lot of times God is sending you their direction to stop them before they end up falling into something they shouldn't fall in. God gives warnings. God gives warning shots over the bow. And so don't be afraid when you feel the prompting on your heart and you think of someone that you haven't seen in a long time or you know that they're not really involved in the things of God like they used to be. Don't be afraid to go after them. Take courage. Pray and go after them. Abram realized that it was important to go after his brother here. And it's also interesting here, the words taken captive here in this verse, they're military terms. And what the implication is here, well, what the very clear meaning is, physically in this event, he was taken beyond his will. Now, what is my point in that? Listen, the spiritual application is this. We have brothers and sisters that because they're living in the flesh and they're getting out of fellowship, sometimes they're taken beyond their will. They don't want to be caught up in the sin they're involved in. They don't want to be taken captive by the enemy, but they've let their guard down. They're now living according to the flesh. They're allowing things to influence their life that shouldn't influence them. You know, there's a principle in Scripture, and it says this, whatever we plant will grow. And sometimes you may be involved in things, and you may think, well, that's not going to bother me. I can handle that. But if the seeds are going in, those seeds are eventually going to sprout and bear a crop. It might not be that you even want that crop. You don't want your heart to respond that way. You can't believe you responded that way. What are you doing? How did you find yourself in this place? It's because seeds were planted earlier by things you were doing, things you were watching, things you were reading. And now all of a sudden you find that you're in the midst of this situation where you're taken captive by the enemy. You find that you're weak in the flesh again. And rather than walking in strength, even as Samson, your hair has been cut off and you've been thrown in prison by the enemy. But the good news in the story of Samson is it says, and his hair began to grow once again. You see, Samson began to, if you will, get his mind back on the things of the Lord. And once again, we saw the power of God come back in Samson's life even before he died. But we need to make sure that sometimes our brothers and sisters, because of where they've been taken captive. And sometimes it's beyond their will. The enemy comes in by demonic deception and by the doors they've opened and he takes them. And again, this does not excuse us for putting ourselves in this position. It only explains the predicament we can find ourselves in if we do. You know, some of you might be saying today, look, I don't want to be doing what I'm doing. I know that I'm going the wrong direction. I know I'm involved in things. I know I should not be going to that internet site. I know that. I hate this. But it's like I can't seem to stop. You see, what you did was you opened a door to the flesh again. You begin to dabble in areas you shouldn't have dabbled. You reopened the gates to things that you had closed long before, and they grabbed a hold of you. And now, once again, you've been taken captive. Listen, if you know someone like that, you need to go after them. And if you're in that place, know that the Lord is coming after you today because he brought you here and now he's got this message right before you. And it depends on whether or not you respond, what's going to happen. But the principle is here is that Abram realized that he had to go after Lot, and so he did. But notice the second step that Abram took to bring Lot back, he got others involved. Notice it says there, he armed 318 trained servants who were in his own house. He took them with him. Note that. What is my point in this? Listen, I'm not saying that if you have a brother that's in sin, that you go and spout it off to everybody. You know, guess what? So-and-so's doing this. No, that's called gossip. And if you have a brother that sinned against you, Matthew 18 says you go to them alone and you resolve that issue. I'm talking about a brother who has now walked away from the things of God and is now living according to the flesh. We need to get people praying for them. Put them on the prayer list. Lift their name up. You don't have to get involved in all the individual areas of their sin. It might be nothing more than just pray for so-and-so. I'm not, you know, he's veered off course or whatever. And you begin to pray. And you get other people's praying here. And so he sees he's taken captive. And he arms his 318 trained servants who were born in his house to go after him. And notice that's, again, the second thing is getting involved in prayer and getting people to pray for them. But notice the third step at the end of this verse here. And that is he went in pursuit as far as Dan. What is my point in this? Notice this, he went as far as necessary to reach his brother. Any length he had to go to. Now, why do I say that? Dan was about 125 miles down the road from where Abram was. Now you might say, well, you know, that's a good day's journey. I hop in my car and go. That would be tough, but that would be hard to do. But I think I could do that for my brother. They didn't have cars back then. They didn't have planes back then. This was a long, hard journey. And what's interesting to me is Abram knew that it would end in a battle, and he still went. You know, if I go and talk to them, they're just going to get mad at me. They're going to fight. They're going to say things like, don't judge me, man. And who are you to say anything to me? He's like, I don't want to go through that. It's not worth it. Look, they put themselves in this place. No, wait a minute. You need to have the heart of Abraham, which is the heart of the Lord, which goes after the one that has left the 99. And although it may be a long journey, although it may be a hard journey, although there may be a battle waiting for you when you get there, it's worth it. Now, here's the thing. When you go there and battle, when you go there and try to bring them back, it doesn't mean they're going to. They can still say thank you, but no thank you. But our responsibility is to simply go. And so sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't. And it's interesting, he says they went as far as Dan, but then he went on to Hobah, which is even farther. Some say maybe as far as 50 miles beyond Dan. Again, whether or not it is, and it may not be, the point is he was willing to go to any length that he could. And again, this was only with hundreds that he had, facing probably thousands that were in the army of these multiple kings. And yet he said, I don't care about the battle. I don't care about the distance. This is my brother, and I'm going after him. And so too, we need to have a heart that would go to any length to reach out and to restore a brother in that situation. Well, notice verse 15, it says, as now he makes his plan for the battle. Note this, he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. The next step that Abram took to get Lot back, this fallen brother, if you will, this captured brother, notice he divided his forces by night for a sneak attack. That is, he got, you know, again, split them up so there were more people coming in to rescue Lot than just himself. And again, what's the application here? And that is, again, getting people praying, dividing our forces, you know, moving in on the enemy when he doesn't see it by spending time in prayer and asking God to break the stronghold of the enemy in their life and getting others to do the same. We can release those that have been taken captive. Satan has usurped his position. He's usurped his authority. Now we pray against it and ask God to release him. And when we divide or split our forces in prayer, we can attack the enemy from all sides, bringing about the enemy's defeat. Now, it's interesting, in light of that here, Hobah literally means hiding place. And so here's the enemy with Lot in a hiding place. Listen, when we pray, there's nowhere the enemy has to hide. We pray, we flush him out. He can't get by with it. He may be thinking he's getting by with it. But as we pray, God begins to send in spiritual forces and surround him. I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of people where they said, you know what? We began to pray for a friend or began to pray for somebody. And at that very time, God began to convict their heart and they came back to the Lord. And oftentimes that happens as we begin to pray and as we divide our forces and as we seek to pray for them, God brings them back as the enemy is defeated. So we need to band together and we need to use a strategy here in bringing those brothers and sisters back. And notice lastly it says, and we see now he does this and he gains the victory. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods as well as the women and the people. Lastly, notice how good the Lord was not only to Abraham in his effort, but how gracious he was to Lot. Note that. Not only was Lot set free from the enemy, but they were able to bring back all that was lost. Now, there's a sad part to this as well. See, here's the good part. He got to Lot soon enough to release him from his captivity that all was saved. Everything was brought back. His family, his goods, all of his belongings. And had Lot simply heeded that warning from the Lord, and had he simply said, you know what, I was going the wrong direction. Thanks for sending me back the right direction. I'm not going back that direction anymore. I'm going to take whatever action it takes now to get my life and my family's life where it needs to be. Instead, we're going to see that Lot went right back to Sodom. And that's what makes it very interesting here in this verse where it says they actually were taken there from north of Damascus, because the word Damascus here, interestingly enough, means literally silent is the sackcloth weaver. You're thinking, silent is the sackcloth weaver. What does that mean? What kind of definition is that? How does that apply? Listen, sackcloth in Scripture is always used symbolically of true repentance. Whenever there's true repentance, they would always put on sackcloth. It was this very uncomfortable material. Probably the closest thing we can relate to it today would be a potato sack. You know, when you do the potato races, if you were to put that thing on as shirt and pants afterwards and wear it all day, it wouldn't be very comfortable. But the whole point was, I'm going to show my uncomfortableness. I'm going to make my flesh uncomfortable, and I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to repent. And here, the sackcloth weaver, the one who makes the sackcloth, is silent. In other words, Lot never repented. There was no need for sackcloth to be made because Lot, in heart, didn't put any sackcloth on. And how do we know that? Because again, we're going to see him go right back into Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's been said you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And this is where we need the balance. It is our responsibility to go after the brother or the sister that's straying, but they have a choice as to whether or not they're going to respond and whether or not they're going to come back. We can't make them do the right thing. All we can hope is that they do the right thing. Well, where does this leave us today? Well, let me ask us this and ask you this and ask myself this. Do we know a brother or sister that has been taken captive by the enemy to do his will? Is there anyone right now in your mind? You're saying, you know what? I do know a brother or sister. They used to really walk with the Lord, but they're just kind of out there. Now they're gone. Guys, we need to go after them. We need to do the same thing that Abram did. And that is the first thing, the first step, go after them. We need to say, you know what? I'm just going to call them up and go see them. I'm going to reach out to them and try to encourage them to come back to see what their response will be. You never know. They may respond. Secondly, what do? We do the same thing here that Abram did. He divided his forces. Well, for our application, we need to get people praying. We need to get the trained servants of God lifting these people up before the Lord and saying, God, have mercy on them and bring them to yourself. Now, this can apply to the believer coming back or even the unbeliever that's never been saved, especially getting them on prayer chains, asking God to release them from the captivity that Satan has taken them to do his will. And thirdly, we need to go as far as necessary to reach them, even if it means a long, hard journey that may end in a battle. Oh, I just can't. All we'll do is fight. It's worth the fight. I'm not saying fight. The servant of God is not to quarrel. It's not that we go looking for a fight or that we try to fight with them. We simply share the truth, and oftentimes it ends up in an argument. But again, we need to use wisdom in that and not be bantering back and forth in arguments, but realizing that sometimes we have to say what the truth is. Really, all the time we have to say what the truth is, and sometimes it ends in a battle before they'll receive it, and sometimes they don't even receive it. But we need to lastly pray that once they see their error, they'll come to their senses and head in the right direction. That's our responsibility as believers to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But let me finish with this. Maybe you've been taken captive today. You're sitting here now, and yes, you've come to church, but you know you're involved in something that you never intended to be involved in. Maybe you've gotten back into something that you were in before you came to the Lord. Maybe you've been taken captive by something new. And why is that? Because you opened a door to the fleshly realm. You allowed a fleshly area of your life to come in, and then the enemy moved in quickly, and he's taken you captive. And right now you realize, you know what? I'm trapped. I don't want to be in this. It's against my will. It was done. It's something I don't want, but here I am. Here's the good news. The Lord will go as far as necessary to bring you back, but you've got to do your part. And what is your part? And that is to recognize it today and say, God, I'm going to ask your forgiveness of it right now. Right now, I'm going to repent of it. I'm going to ask you to forgive me. You know, God has gone to great lengths to get our attention in this. He brought you here today. He put this message before you. He's given you the power of the Holy Spirit to respond to it, and now it's your opportunity to respond. He won't make you. He can't make you, but he's making the offer. And that is, if you've been taken captive, the Son will set you free today. If you're a believer and you've opened up a door to where you've been taken captive again, you can respond by asking God to forgive you, by repenting and now turning back to the Lord and asking his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to now set you free again. And then you turn away from all those things that caused you to get in this situation in the first place. If you're an unbeliever, you've been living captive to the enemy, and now you need to be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? By simply asking him to forgive you, by confessing your sins, by turning from your sins, and receiving him in your life as your Lord and your Savior. And you can rest assured, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But it's up to you to respond.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.